Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with the California Adventure District radio show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area. From climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. See you there.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. I'm your host, Rob Burles, director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, retired United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq. And boy, I'll tell you, all these things going on right now in Afghanistan, they're bringing a lot of flashbacks back to when I served in Iraq and we were working with the Iraqi nationals and being on the roads with all the enemy attacks and IED explosions and everything else. My heart goes out to our Marines who gave their lives this week, and to the Navy corpsman who also gave his life. They were there at the gate on Thursday when the IED, the suicide-borne IED, came up and exploded. And this morning is probably going to be a little emotional for me. So if I come up on some breaks or pauses or whatever else, even if I shed a tear, it's for the men and women who lost their lives this week. And we know that this is the beginning of more bloodshed. This is not going to stop. As the Taliban finds opportunity, as the insurgents find opportunity and weak spots in the situation that's taking place right now in Afghanistan, they are going to take those opportunities and they're going to capitalize on them. And unfortunately, it's going to take more of our American lives. And what I see on the horizon very shortly as we get ready to pull out of that embassy is another Benghazi. I see the last men and women who are protecting the Americans that are there, whether they can get out of the embassy in time, whether they can get away and get to the airport in time, or even if they can get out of the airport in time, somebody's going to have to be the last man on the ground. Somebody's going to have to be the last team on the ground to protect those that are still flying out. And who's going to protect that last flight as it leaves? Big questions, big concerns, big situations, things that we looked at when we were in Iraq, different intel. When we ran our convoys, you know, we were constantly looking at the enemy that was ahead of us, at the enemy that was to our left and right, and the enemy that was to our rear. And that's basically where they're at right now with the airport in Afghanistan, is the enemy is everywhere within the gates. The enemy is within the gates along on the outside of the gates. And our men and women on the ground and our leadership there has some major contemplation of how they're going to be able to get this exit strategy in the next 3 days with all the Americans that are still there and the personnel that they're trying to get out of there, plus our men and women who will be the last boots on the ground if that actually comes to fruition. And so your guess is as good as mine. Obviously, if I was put in that position, as we were on many different occasions when we were in Iraq, things would be different, but I am not there. It is not my decision. I will tell you straight up front, I am very discouraged and heartbroken for what's taking place with our American military personnel there. There was not enough planning. Fine, if we're going to leave, That's fine. We're going to leave. But you have to plan when you leave. You can't just leave Americans stranded. You can't just throw American troops. Yes, okay, call them heroes, whatever you want to do. But to throw them into the fire like they have, it's very discouraging. And I know because I've been on the ground underneath that attack before, underneath that fire, whether it's RPGs or it's mines or it's mortars or it's enemy gunfire, machine gun fire, and being pinned down and being in situations where it was life and death, second by second, to get in and to get out of certain situations. Different convoys that we had taken from Fallujah into Baghdad, the enemy fire, all those things that we were up against. It's a replay of what we're seeing again in Afghanistan. And it's, you say, well, one country is one country and one country is another between Iraq and Afghanistan. The players are the same. Enemy is the enemy. The tactics are the same. The countryside is the same. It's desert. Whether there's mountains or it's plains, it's desert and it's a hostile community. And because of how the individuals dress there, it's very difficult to tell the enemy from the friend, from the friend from the foe. And, you know, we don't know if we already have the infiltration of some of the enemy into the people that we brought back. We don't know if the enemy is inside the wire at the airport right now waiting to strike for a certain time, certain location for certain issues. And it is a very tough time for our men and our women that are on the ground, that are serving this nation right now. Regardless of what your feeling is about whether we should be there or not, we have to make sure that we keep regard for the men and women who are wearing the uniforms that have been put in a situation to do the most difficult job that they have that may require them to lose their lives for what they're trying to accomplish right now. And that is to free people, to bring people to freedom. You know, people complain about this nation all the time, but everyone in the world does what they can do to get to this nation, because we still are a light across the world for freedom. And they look to the Americans, they look to us, they look to our flag for that freedom, for that opportunity to not be under the thumb of tyranny, under the thumb of the Taliban or the insurgents or all these individuals that want to take those freedoms away, that want to show it, they want to be a dictatorship. And if you don't agree, if you don't like it, then they just take you in the street and shoot you, or they behead you. And one of the things that really comes back to me is when we were in Iraq, the people looked to us for strength. They looked to us for fortitude. Yes, there was always people that didn't want us there. Look, there's people in our own country don't want our police on the streets. No matter where you go, you're not going to please everybody. But the bottom line is we are a free nation, and people want what we have. They want that freedom. Because all men are created to a point where they're looking for that freedom. They don't want suppression. They don't want someone telling them that they can't have that freedom that comes from us naturally but is suppressed by certain individuals in the world. And so our hearts and our thoughts go out to the family members who lost their loved ones this week in the Marine Corps and in the Navy, the new Gold Star families that we have, and those that may be coming along in the very near future that we don't know about yet. We need to reach out to them as Americans, as American citizens. We need to make sure that we support them. We need to make sure that we support our men and women that are wearing the uniform right now. You know, I would call it leadership, but I don't call it leadership. The people that are in charge of this nation right now, because I don't see that as leadership. The people that are in charge of our nation right now do not understand what it takes to wear a uniform, to learn how to do your job, and then be placed in a position where you are literally on one side of the fence of life and death every minute of the day. It's not just a little here, and it's not just a little there. Those people, the men and women wearing a uniform in Afghanistan right now, they are on the edge of life and death right now as we speak every single day. Because they have to watch everything. Because complacency is death. Complacency kills. And so they're taking care of each other. They're watching each other's backs. They're trying to make sure in all this chaos that they're doing the best job that they can do for themselves, for their brothers, for the United States, and to help those that are trying to find freedom and to come out of Afghanistan. So the biggest thing that I would ask you to do right now is to pray for our military. Pray for them. Stop and take a minute and say a prayer for our men and women. It is critical that we support them in the greatest time of their need. When I was in Iraq, there wasn't a day that went by that didn't say, Lord, help us get through this day. Protect us and help us not to lose any lives. And that's what we need to do fervently, is to pray for our men and women in uniform. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors, then they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but it ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only about it, God came about it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Nothing says hang on to summer like classic root beer float treats. At Black Bear Diner, they paired sweet root beer and decadent vanilla cream in a dreamy cream pie filling to make a root beer float pie, served in a graham cracker crust and topped with whipped cream and maraschino cherries. Grab one with your meal or box one up to go. Always shareable, always delicious. But hurry! Serve this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, where you can always feed your inner bear. Dine-in, delivery, and carry-out available.
Black Bear Diner.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spin at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligations. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop in for an hour or more and try it out. Dropin.mobi. That's dropin.mobi.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
you're tired. I know you're worn. I know you're torn. You're losing all your hope, 'cause you're a long way from home. Oh, I know you're worried. I know you're scared. I'd like to put my arms around you, tell you I care. Hope is in heaven, not far away. Just close your eyes, he hears what you say. Feel him around you, he's everywhere. Reaching to touch you, know that he's there. Deep in the heart of a wound, he hears a soul. Protect you, God, where you go. Keep you from evil, tears at your soul. Oh, speak to the Father, say what's on your mind. It just takes a moment if you take the time. Hope is in heaven, not far away. Just close.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we have our prayers going out for our soldiers right now to give them the strength and the courage to carry on, to get up every morning, to face whatever that enemy action is, to be able to do their watches port to starboard, and to be able to keep their eyes aware and keep their eyes open, and to be able to take care of each other, and to be able to give each other courage and commitment to where they're at. It is tough to be knowing that you are going to face the enemy every single minute of every single day. Believe me, been there, done that for multiple missions in Iraq, and it wears on you very intensely. And so it is so critical that we continue to keep our men and women in our prayers as we continue to move forward. I'd like to bring you back to some things that are going on here in our community right now for the Northern California Veterans Museum. We are having on September 10th and September 11th, the Cottonwood community is having a car cruise on the evening of September 10th through downtown Cottonwood in the community. And on Saturday morning, September 11th, the Northern California Veterans Museum will be having a pancake breakfast starting at 7 a.m. that morning, because Saturday is when all of the cars are going to show up for the car show. And so we will be honoring our veterans and remembering 9/11 with the car show there in Cottonwood. We will have a display for the museum there. This is what we normally call our MASH Bash barbecue, because we haven't been able to have it inside of a building. We're having it out there with the car show. Last year we sold 1,000 meals on Saturday. And so we're expecting to probably sell about 500 breakfasts between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. And then from then on, we'll be doing pulled barbecue sandwiches and hot dogs for everybody that shows up for the car show. They're expecting a couple hundred cars there for the car show, and it will be all centered around our firemen, our policemen, and our military personnel in honor of them for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And so it is our way in the Cottonwood community to remember those who served and sacrificed, and for us to be able to bring people together, especially with the museum, and to honor those individuals who sacrificed and continue to sacrifice today. The global war on terror has not ended. As you have seen this week across the national news, what's taking place in the Middle East, the global war on terror is going strong. And the only way for the enemy, for evil men to be able to exist and to do what they do, is for good men to do nothing. And so for our good men in the military to step up, people ask, why should we be there? Why are we doing what we do? Well, let's go all the way back to the beginning of the nation. And why do we serve one person that has freedom? That's what we do. We help people to have freedom in their lives. Because, once again, whether you want to accept the fact or not, the United States is the greatest nation in the world for freedom and liberty. And you can go anywhere in the world, just like you see in the news right now in the Middle East or any of the other countries that are going on right now. The United States is the nation that has that freedom. And so once again, I just want to remind you, September 10th in the evening is the cruise in Cottonwood, downtown Cottonwood. We'll be having a barbecue that evening. And then Saturday morning on September 11th, we'll have the pancake breakfast at the firehouse there, the old firehouse downtown, presented by the Northern California Veterans Museum starting at 7 a.m. That'll go through probably as long as we have pancakes, they can get whatever they want. But lunch will actually start at 11 a.m. and go till probably 11 p.m. Last time we sold from 9 a.m. in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. We sold meals the entire 12-hour time frame for all of the people that were there. And so, as you know, with a lot of nonprofits right now, there are very few opportunities for us to have public venues to have fundraisers. And so this is a great outdoor activity for you to come and enjoy the cars, enjoy the community, be able to have snow cones and hot dogs and popcorn and pulled pork sandwiches and great barbecue beans with bacon and brown sugar and all of the good fixings that go along with that. And it's a fundraiser once again for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And for us to keep moving forward with our program, we need to have those dollars that are donated. And so when people come out and are a part of this, we appreciate their support. We appreciate the fact that we can be a member of the community and for us also to put together our displays out there along the edge of the street so that people can see them outdoors and not be stuck in a building someplace. And so, once again, it's our opportunity to be a part of the success of our community and hopefully to be a part of the remembrance of our veterans. You know, we just had the 9/11 wall that was just here at the museum property, and to honor the 20th anniversary of our global war on terror and those that served around the world in that effort that are continuing to serve today. And so, once again, we continue to honor these veterans at the 20th anniversary, but we also honor our firemen and our policemen also. And so it is our way to step up and make that happen. I have a wonderful guest this morning. It's Lori Templeton, who is the director, the new director for the Northern California Veterans Home here off of Knighton Road. And she is also a captain in the United States. Is it the Army or the National Guard?
It's California National Guard.
California National Guard. She is a captain. And we're going to talk with her this morning. She's going to share some of her experiences. And Lori, I just want to say thank you very much for being here this morning and being our guest.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm a little nervous, but I'm very excited as well.
That's okay. There's no reason to be nervous. It's just me.
Whoever else
is listening, they're just listening. But this morning, it's just you and I talking back and forth. And you were at our event that we had up there with the 9/11 wall.
Yeah.
And so I want to thank you for coming to that and being a part of our evening there with our gala dinner. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, I just want to talk about why you went into the Army in the service that you did and some of the influences in your life, whether it be an uncle or an aunt or a mom or dad or a grandparent that served, that helped bring you to the decision to join the military. And then we also want to talk about the home and some of the things that are going on there. And what brought you to Redding, California to be the administrator for the home. So we'll start with your background, with some of the heritage.
Okay, yeah, that's a whole show in itself right there.
Well,
we have family in the military. My dad served proudly in the Marines, and my uncle and a couple other family members served in the Army, Vietnam, and they just always honored service in our family. It's just kind of what we did. And I remember when I was 17, I wanted to join the Air Force. And signed up and did everything. I just knew I wanted to serve. It's just always been part of who I am. And I allowed fear to stop me at 17. So I went everything, but I didn't get on that bus to go to MEPS. And I know there's a lot of people out there that have been in the service. You know, that nervous stomach, like, am I going to go, not go? And I was going to be able to sign in early. So I stopped. I chickened out. You know, I let fear stop me from doing it. And I lived kind of with that regret, if you would say, all through my adulthood. I married young, had kids, was a teacher in Red Bluff and here, and we can kind of get into that. But when I was 39, my son wanted to join the military because grandpa did. And I, as a dutiful mom, I went online and was searching everything for him because I figured my dream had kind of passed. Oh, well, keep on. He's signaling me. But anyway, So I looked and found the California National Guard, and I could commission up into 42. I had my degree and everything, and I figured, you know what? It's never too late to serve. It's never too late to take that chance and to follow your dream. And I was so passionate about wanting to have that in my history and become part of that military family that I was like, go big or go home. So at 39... I went to basic training and signed up, and it's just the best decision I ever made. It was just absolutely incredible, and I'm not sure of time. I'm giving looks. Am I okay?
You're good.
So that's really how I got my foot into being in the military. And once I had that experience and went to basic training and really started understanding what commitment that was and what it was and how it became who you were and ingrained, like, inside. It is the most amazing thing that I've ever done. It was incredible, and I didn't want to let it go. I came back. I was still teaching, so I went in the summer. So if anybody out there that's a little bit older than 18 thinking about going into the military, I would not suggest the summer to do that, because that's when all the 17, 18, 20 younger generation
gets out of school.
They get out of school and they join. And yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Ready an Electric Utility, like more than 2,000 utilities across the country, is a nonprofit public power agency owned by the customers. This year, we are celebrating 100 years of serving the city of Reading. October 3rd through the 9th is Public Power Week, and we celebrate the benefits of living in a public power community. These benefits include low rates and local control. Community ownership means your money stays right here in Reading. Publicly owned utilities like REU provide excellent service and work directly for the community.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
The Stillwater Powwow has returned both to the public and to tribal land, October 1st through the 3rd, at the Wind River Resort and Casino with free admission. See the return of beautiful dancers, the fill of powerful drummers, and celebrate our people's culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 1st through the 3rd, at the Wind River Resort and Casino with free admission. For information, call 530-242-4558 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by Chicken Ranch Rancheria, the Potter Family, and this station.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Lori Templeton. She is the director, actually, she's the administrator for the Northern California Veterans Home, and she is also currently a captain in the United States National Guard. And good morning again, Lori.
Good morning.
And we're talking about your very beginning when you were thinking about joining the military, when you were in high school and in the Air Force, and then now we're going to come back to your boot camp days. We're going to talk about some of your experience as an older person, woman.
More seasoned.
Okay, more seasoned. You joined when you were 39, and they sent you to boot camp. I mean, that's most people are getting out of the military at that time frame after doing a 20-year stint.
Yeah.
And so you had some very interesting experiences.
God, I had an incredible time. So, you know, I did want to join the Air Force, and I was so grateful that the Army would allow me to join it at such a seasoned age. It was a opportunity, and I really only had 2 years to accomplish it. So I wanted to be an officer, and I knew that. And so I had to get through boot camp. I had to, and then make it through OCS and everything. So there was no, refrat. You know, you couldn't mess up. But when I got there, it's a mindset. And I had already gone through, I was a single mom for 13 years. I raised three kids. I lived here in Reading, raised them, taught at Live Oak Courtin Community School, so at-risk youth, love that population. You know, I love
serving.
And that
was in Red Bluff?
It was actually when Live Oak was here in Reading.
Okay.
Between here and Shasta Lake. It's not there anymore, but it was the Courtin Community School. Absolutely loved it. The kids that were there were so real. They were hurt and raw, but kids are just kids.
Right.
And I loved serving and drawing out the potential. And that's what I wanted to do with soldiers, you know, because I just have a mama's heart. Yeah, and
They're young and raw.
Yeah. I mean, but when I went so late because when you join the military, and this is something I really want to say to our, you know, impart to our listeners, that when you are a person and you commit to that and you say, I'm going to sign on that dotted line and I'm going to join the military, you're not just saying that, hey, I'm, you know, if something happens, because I had kids, so I was a single mom, and in order to go when I was younger, I would have had to sign a piece of paper that said, when I die, my kids are going to go to so-and-so. When I die, not like if, the sacrifice that people make when they sign on that dotted line, when they sign on that dotted line, I know our veterans that I serve now, the soldiers that I had the honor to serve and take care of when I was active, they all made that commitment. Like everybody who signed on that dotted line said, I'm willing to give my life for something bigger than me. And that's so incredible. I mean, We need to honor, I don't care if you served 1 year or 20, you stepped up when there are so many people who haven't.
Who run the other direction.
And I don't mean to speak back on people who don't make that choice, because they are honoring people and serving in their own heart and in their own way, and they're following their path, and I absolutely respect that. But when somebody in any, whether it's firefighters, police officers, soldiers and airmen and Marines, that level of commitment, that level of heart, that's, you're somebody special when you can do that. Cause you're saying, I'm going to put something bigger than me ahead of myself and my loved ones. Like my kids, I was willing to, my kids would miss me when I'm gone. Like when we lose soldiers, and it's an entire family has lost.
Yes, it does.
And that person, I just think we have, that matters so much to me. And so I couldn't make that sacrifice when I was younger. I chose not to. I was one of the not choosers. Cause I didn't have somebody that I wanted to get the kids to, but it was such, that was such an awareness, and it was something that hung on to me that when I found out I had the opportunity to still do it, oh my gosh, I was so scared. 39, like I'm done, right? My kids are almost, I had one out of the house cause I started so young, and then I had, one that just graduated high school and one that was going into his senior year. And I was like, I gotta do it, scared to death. And I went in but I had so much life behind me. It's a head game.
Yes, it is.
You know, boot camp's a head game. We're gonna break you and we're gonna get your mindset right so that you can meet the mission. So it's, you know, kind of breaking us down and remolding us into, I think, a more efficient and focused,
group as a team.
Of team, right. Yes. You know, and, so boot camp was just fun for me. I mean, the physical part was hard because I was 39 and I was not a gym rat before I went in. So I trained really hard before and, it was great. You know, my drill instructors were younger than me. They were younger than me. It was incredible. And so I had this, and I was a mom. Look, I'll look at you across the table and it's done, right? And so I brought this presence with me of, I have raised three kids. I've been a high school teacher. I've been a junior high teacher. What you got? What? You don't have, I was great. And so, and I know how to stand still. I mean, think back to boot camp.
You're reading the rights back to your drill instructors.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had so much respect for them for what they were doing. I didn't buck the system. I was ready. And look, you want me to stand in a line and be quiet? I got you. Do you know what I got to do at home with three kids? This is cake. It was great. And it was the first time in my entire life I had ever not taken care of somebody. And people were taking care of me. Like, you woke me up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym. I was excited. I don't care how you wake me up. I don't care if you rattle my cage and yell at me and flip the light on. I wasn't responsible for taking care of three people in the morning. I got to go to the gym for 2 hours in the morning. They paid me to do it. It was incredible training.
They cooked your breakfast.
They cooked my breakfast. Oh, stop. All I had to do was wait in line and walk down a tray. And then you were required to not talk while you ate. Stop. You know, when you got kids and they're chattering all they had to do is focus on my plate and eat and work out and follow directions. And I love learning. So I got to learn. And I'm an observer. So I watched how the soldiers around me reacted, and I watched what worked and what didn't work. And you don't got to tell me twice. If somebody gets yelled out for talking in line, I'm quiet. I'm good. And, but we had some,
yeah,
like
as a teacher, you weren't
as a teacher. I know how the rules work. I had an inside scoop and I tried to, share my wisdom, and my fellow soldiers listened, and, you know, I was grandma, and, I did get razzed quite a bit at first because, you know, man, you're older than dirt. You know how drill sergeants are no joke, right? They let me know, and then they found out I wanted to be an officer, so it was just on, right? But it was incredible. It was just the most incredible group of people. It was Fort Jackson, and I know there's Relax in Jackson, but at 39, it's not. So it was a great experience. And I came out of that, and I was a guardsman, and so I came back to teaching, and I realized. I wanted to be with my brothers and sisters in arms. I mean, it was such an incredible connection I had not felt before.
Right.
And so I did work 2 more years in a guard status, and then I went active. So in the California Guard, you can go active and work full time. So I went active duty status and stayed in that for about 8 years. And I just loved it. Worked at the Oakland Military Institute, teaching, and I got to blend my teaching and my military experience. Had a couple company commands, which was just an incredible honor. It's just been great. It went to federal OCS after boot camp in between. Sorry, I skipped. I don't like Fort Benning. Don't like it. I don't like it. I was hard. That was the hardest thing I ever did.
Was it?
Yeah, federal OCS. I chose to go, you know, the active side. And, Fort Benning's no joke. And I was 41 when I turned 40 in boot camp, and then I turned 41 in OCS. And, they took great pleasure in seeing what the old lady had.
See, I did my first combat tour at 40.
Oh, Iraq, okay, there you go.
And I did my second tour at 44.
It's
and they were all younger than me.
Absolutely, and they love to...
The old man.
What you got, old man? What you got, old lady? And you know, what you got, mama? And I was mom to quite a few, and grandma to a couple, and my kids were older than... people that were standing around me. It was a great experience.
You know, and sometimes I think that when you're older like mm-hmm. that, and you have all of your life experience that you're bringing, mm-hmm. because you're a journeyman in whatever you've done in your life at that point, a journeyman mom,
right?
Journeyman teacher, whatever yep. it is. I was a journeyman mechanic. I mean, doing all these different things. You bring a whole different level of skill to the table.
Right.
Whereas everybody else is jumping off the table, you've got a calm head, you're working with different things
yeah.
that are going on because you've already experienced situations like that. Mm-hmm. I think that helps out immensely. It brings a totally different perspective than coming up with everybody that's 18 and nobody's got a clue.
Right.
And so, you're listening to Battlefield mm-hmm. Expressions. Our guest here is Lori Templeton, and she is the administrator for the Northern mm-hmm. California Veterans Home. We'll be right back.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and The Deep Thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There is no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. This life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Lori Templeton. She is the new administrator for the Northern California Veterans Home, and we're talking about some of her Army experiences. She is also a captain in the National Guard here in our community. And so, Lori, thank you for being here with us this morning. We were talking about you had just come through boot camp, and you had transitioned, and now you're looking at OCS and going through that transition. You said it was a pretty tough time. You didn't like Fort Benning.
I did not like
it. And I'd like you just kind of... I want you to share some of those things that there were struggles during that time, because people need to know what are some of those things that our men and women have to go through to get where they are today.
Oh, yeah. Well, Fort Benning used to just be all male. So, and it's not been that terribly long that they started allowing, you know, females to commingle and be trained alongside. And so there's some residual. I was there in 2010. So... There's a little residual, you know, why are you here kind of mentality that goes on. It was an incredible training. The training was phenomenal. It just was, it was tough. You know, it was really hard. And I think part of the mentality is going there for OCS. You can come into an OCS program in a couple different ways. You know, one, you're enlisted and you decide as an E5 in the Army. So whatever other rank.
Sergeant.
Yeah. And then you have to make that choice. Either I'm going to continue to go down my enlisted thing or I'm going to go. Well, if you're an E5 or I'd say E6 or 7, because some people have a choice, it's almost a demotion by that time if you want to go backwards to become an officer.
Second lieutenant.
Because you really are going to be a second lieutenant, and that's where you have
to
start. Nobody wants to be that guy.
The bottom of the rung.
Yeah, we all hate being that guy, right? except the young ones that don't know enough to know that that being a second lieutenant is basically a...
And that might be a good step for them.
That is a great step for them. But so you can come in that enlisted route, or you can come in... I was direct commission, which means I have the education behind me before enlisting, and then I'm just going to direct commission in because I have the education to qualify.
Right.
And I make it. Or you can come in straight going through college, and then that's, you know, your exit strategy. You can get into an OCS program. And so there's just a different hodgepodge of individuals there. And you're standing next to somebody who is 20, maybe not even turned 21, has zero life experience, but has a great heart, and they want to serve, and they know it. So I'm not speaking bad to that. You have somebody like me who's got life, but I don't have the military experience, because all I had was boot camp. But I didn't have any combat experience. I didn't have any troop leadership experience. And then you're sitting right next to somebody who's deployed 3 times and an absolutely seasoned expert in their craft. And you're all in the same, and you're stripped down to the same level. And so it's that mental game to where how do you form a team when you got all those different people? And then the cadre are just having a great time because most of the cadre are enlisted, and they just beat you up because you're going to be an officer.
Right. That's their opportunity.
I mean, that's their opportunity. Look, I'll tell you what, they had a great time in doing all the mind games, whereas, you know, they don't set the uniform out, and you come down, and first sergeant's like, why are you in the wrong uniform? And you got 2 minutes. I mean, it's just all those head games.
It's like officer and a gentleman.
It is not a no-joke. And my experience, and I can't speak for everybody else, but I went to Fort Benning after it was no longer a gentleman's club. There was a time where you could go through an OCS program, and you actually got to go to a room in the evening, and you were done, much more, like I said, a gentleman's club. Some things happened. Fort Benning changed policy in 2010, and I was one of the first cycles to go through where it was locked down 24/7, just like basic training. So I had less liberties in OCS than I did in basic training, which was just, you know,
a reversal.
It was total reversal. And it was tough on me physically. You know, the physical stuff. We're right next to the airborne school, so, you know, they're running you to it's all image and competition. Mm-hmm. And so it was a phenomenal experience. Hardest thing I've ever done in my life by far. I came out stronger. I came out with a stronger mindset because even though I thought I had all, you know, I had all the experience from life, that I had an advantage, I believe. I still, the physical stuff, like what you have to do when you lead troops and when you're organizing a mission, and you know, that was my first experience learning that level of responsibility and the, what you have to go through to plan those and execute them. And even though we were just running drills and stick lanes, you know, when you think about it, like this could be real. This will be my future.
Right.
You know, when you do a mission and you fail and people mock die, and then you have to walk through that process that was because of your decision. That's tough. And so that was my first introduction. And you know, I see my kids and the you know, people to the right and left of me. But it was, so that's why Benning was. It was physically super hard for me. And it's hot. Benning's hot. I live in California. I live in California my whole life. I'm like,
hot here.
It was the first time I came across a flash flood. Like little clouds floated by and everybody started panicking because the wind picked up. And I'm like, what's the big deal? And they're like, turtle your gear. Get in. I mean, everybody panicked. I'm like, it's a little fluffy cloud. And like 2 minutes later, it's torrential rains and sheets of water. And
it's like Guam.
Yeah. And we're holding our weapons up and we're all of a sudden marching through, you know, 4 feet of flood. I was like, oh, damn. And then you're in your gear and you're wet for the next 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
It was my first experience. So that's why I'm like, yeah, Benny, Sand Hill, no, don't need it. I was glad. But I would never trade the experience.
No, once you've experienced it and you've accomplished
it, yeah,
it's an accomplishment.
Yeah,
It's an accomplishment to you, whether anybody else recognizes it or not.
Right. And I know it may be on the sissy la la end for some training that you people go through in the Marine Corps and some, but it was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. It was an incredible experience. Yeah,
that was that tough part of the mom that you had.
That was I pulled out some tough mom, and then I was a mom to some of the others that were really struggling,
even in OCS.
Even in OCS, because we had some young individuals. They were literally turning 20 and 21. I didn't understand how it was possible, but. Because I don't know how you lead troops if you've never paid a bill before. I don't. So my mindset. See, I have that older mindset. Like, I think you should live some life before you.
I found as being in combat in my 40s is that the young ones are ready to run into the bullets.
Yeah.
And I was ready to stop and wait. Let's find where the bullets are coming from.
Yeah, let's analyze the terrain a little bit. Let's analyze where the bullets are coming.
Yeah, where is that enemy fire coming from before we just put our heads up and get shot at?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it brings a lot to it. I mean, fortunately, when I was in my 40s, I was able to keep up and or surpass physically.
You had to. It was a matter of pride.
It's the only way you were going to get in a leadership position where we were at is to, you had to be the top 5% to be the leader in combat.
Yeah, you got to lead from the front. If you want to be successful, you've got to walk your talk. You've got to lead from the front.
And you don't talk unless you think you can.
You better back it up because people are watching you. And, I think successful leaders, you know, successful officers that have, troops and soldiers that are willing to follow them are the ones that they don't talk. They show you, look, if I'm asking you to do it, I've already done it, and I'm going to be at the front.
So I'll share an experience with you. We had been in Iraq for 2 weeks. We were getting ready to take we'd been with another convoy team giving us examples of what we're doing. We were in Al-Assad.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Allegations of violent behavior on the part of some refugees are raising serious questions about White House assurances that Afghans brought to the U.S. have been thoroughly screened.
At the Donna Ana complex in New Mexico, a female service member reported being assaulted by a small group of male evacuees. That was September 19th. Earlier this week, in an unrelated case, two Afghan men being housed in Wisconsin were indicted on federal charges of domestic violence and sexually assaulting a child. Lawmakers are demanding answers as they accuse the White House of bringing thousands of evacuees to this country without vetting them. Ken Lorman reporting.
No migrants left at a Texas border camp about a week after nearly 15,000 people, most of them Haitians, had gathered there.
So far, around 2,000 were flown back to Haiti, and stepped-up flights will continue over the weekend, according to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, ignoring criticism from Democratic lawmakers and human rights groups who say they left because Haiti is an unsafe country. Mayorkas defending the expulsions.
They are driven by a public health imperative.
He says about 12,400 will get a chance at asylum. They're being allowed to stay, at least temporarily, 5,000 of them in DHS custody. Meanwhile, the mayor of Del Rio, Texas, where the camp was located, says officials will search the brush along the Rio Grande to ensure no one is hiding and finish cleaning the site before reopening the International Bridge Sunday night at the earliest. I'm Julie Walker.
And now there is late word that border crossing will reopen partially later today. A judge temporarily blocking New York City schools from enforcing a vaccine mandate for teachers and other workers just days before it was supposed to take effect. More on these stories, townhall.com.
One listener that stands out that I work with was this older couple that was interested in refinancing. They reached out to a few different lenders, and, you know, their credit wasn't the best. I know some of these other bigger banks, you just won't hear back from them, which I cannot stand. Not everybody has the 780 credit scores, and just because you don't qualify at one time doesn't mean that you'll never qualify. I'll walk you through what you have to do, whether it's 2, 3, 6 months from now. Back to that older couple, we worked with them for months and months to improve their credit. And we were able to get the loan done. We were saving them hundreds each month, thousands of dollars a year. Finally got themselves into a situation financially that they can handle and they could start saving money each month for retirement. End of the day, they just could not be happier, which just put a huge smile on my face.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Meadow Park Road, Meadow, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org, corporate NMLS number 1330, equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The latest polls in Germany pointing to a very close contest ahead of tomorrow's national election. Germans going to the polls to elect a new parliament, which will decide who heads the government. After 16 years in office, Chancellor Angela Merkel is stepping down. More from the BBC's Jenny Hill in Berlin.
Regardless of what happens tomorrow, we're going to see Germany enter a phase of probably very protracted and complicated coalition negotiations. It's going to be weeks, I think, if not months, before Germany actually gets a new government and we really finally know who's going to be stepping into Angela Merkel's shoes in the German chancellery.
Merkel remains personally popular after steering Germany through a string of crises. She had announced back in 2018 that she would not be seeking a fifth term in office as Germany's chancellor after 16 years. News and analysis at townhall.com. Women leaders addressing the United Nations, calling on the world to fight for what they term gender parity.
In her speech to the UN General Assembly, Slovakian President Zuzana Čaputová says gender-based and race-based violence are just as serious threats to the world as the pandemic and climate change.
We cannot save our planet if we leave out the vulnerable, the women, the girls, the minorities. The silent pandemic of gender-based violence can prove little to the health of our societies.
Chaputova is just one of 13 women to address the General Assembly, four more than last year, but still less than 10% of the speakers. There are also 24 women heads of state or national governments. That's three more than 2020, but far less than the 193 member states in the UN. I'm Tim McGuire.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and you're going, why is he playing the MASH theme? Well, I want to remind you that September 10th and September 11th, we're going to be having a barbecue for the Cottonwood Cruise on September 10th, the evening of September 10th, and then also on September 11th, we'll be honoring our firemen and our police officers and our military personnel with a car show in Cottonwood, and we will be having, the museum will be having the MASH Bash Barbecue. We'll have all of our Korean War military vehicles out there and the MASH unit set up. And it'll be a fundraiser for the museum, also in honor of our 20th anniversary of 9/11. We never want to forget the 20th anniversary of 9/11. The town of Cottonwood is honoring our police officers, firemen, and military personnel with this car show. And it is our opportunity for the museum, since we are downtown at the old historic fire department, for us to be able to share this. We'll be doing the pancake breakfast Saturday morning, and then we'll be doing the pulled barbecue and hot dogs and chili dogs and cheese dogs and all that really good stuff all day Saturday for all those that are at the car show and all those that visit. And once again, it's a fundraiser for the museum as we move forward with our program here in the community and to be able to build a facility there on top of Cottonwood Hill on Ronda Road. So I just want to remind you that you don't forget another great opportunity to be out that weekend to honor our veterans, our police and firemen, and also to enjoy a very great car show. We know there will be a lot of people out because people have been waiting to get out. This is an entire outdoor event. So you can wear your mask. You don't have to wear your mask. Keep your distance. Enjoy the fresh air if we have no smoke. Enjoy the sunshine if we have sunshine. Whatever it's going to take, we want you to come and be a part of it. We want you to get out in the community, especially the community of Cottonwood. The different businesses will be open there, and it's an opportunity for you to bring the family. It is a family event. And so we want you to bring the family, come for a walk, stay for a while, grab something to eat, look at all the hot rods and the military vehicles that will be on display. And once again, it will be a time for us to be able to say thank you and to honor our firemen, our police officers, and our military personnel for the 9/11 event for the 20th anniversary. Our guest again this morning is Lori Templeton, director for the Northern California Veterans Home and also United States Army, our National Guard captain. And we've been talking about OCS and the experiences. And we want to talk a little bit more about the leadership skills that you learned and things that have helped to mold your life into the position where you're at, where you're going to be at the veterans home. Mm-hmm. And then also, because we have been talking about the 20th anniversary of 9/11, I want to just step back also for a minute and get your experience at the morning of 9/11 when that took place and how that helped to kind of guide your thinking process. You had kids. Mm-hmm. You didn't know what was going on in the world, just like the rest of us. This was a slap in the face. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what was going on. And you had children at that time. You're trying to figure out your career. You're trying to figure out taking care of your family. And then also you have kids that wanted to go in the military, yeah, too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was just a hard morning, I think, for everybody. I was taking them to school, just doing the regular thing. And, you know, you hear something on the radio. And I thought it was like a radio gimmick. Yeah, I mean, because it was so beyond
comprehension.
Yeah, it was so beyond comprehension that it could be real. You know, I felt almost untouchable, like it couldn't be real. And dropped the kids off at school and then went to work, and they had a TV on at work. And it was just, it's so surreal.
Surreal
it was
is the word
just.
There.
I know that everybody can just relate to it. It doesn't matter where you were. It just changed reality. You know what I mean?
I made chief petty officer that week. I was getting pinned.
Oh my gosh.
And we became the 9/11 chiefs.
Wow.
So I mean, it was very poignant in my entire career in the Navy. At that point on, I knew we were going to war.
Life's changed.
And yeah, nothing was going to be the same.
No. And you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit offline, referring to what's going on in Afghanistan and everything. And once you gain an awareness you didn't have before, you can't go back.
Right.
And it's like the United States gained an awareness they didn't have before. Like somebody invaded our space.
We weren't infallible.
And we couldn't stop it at the time we couldn't stop it. And so for me, I felt a little guilty, you know, 'cause I remember I wanted to have been able to be in the fight, but I still looked back to when I was 17 and didn't follow that. I always knew I wanted to be a military officer and I didn't do it. And so then this happens and it's like, wow, like I missed that. Like I missed that opportunity to be part of that solution.
Wasn't
so
time.
It wasn't my time. At the moment, I did. I felt guilt. I felt some responsibility in some odd way. And I don't know if other military feel the same way, but I feel a responsibility to protect. And it was like, I thought I should have been there to be, it was just weird. So, at the time, the kids were still fairly young, and it wasn't my time. I still couldn't, I didn't have anybody to take care of them. And so I did. I lived with that kind of a guilty feeling. But when I had the opportunity, I was like,
your mission
that was
at
my
that time was mom.
My mission
your
was
mission
mom
was
for
mom.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was doing that one full time. So that, and looking at the kids wanting to go in, I never really worried about them. I would be honored, you know, if they would choose to serve. And my son still talks about it. And he's a firefighter, and so he took a different path. But he's still in service. And I don't know, it was, sometimes when I think back to it, and I have 20 years to go, and we were talking, 20 years, it goes so fast.
It does go fast.
Like, what happened? But I know the
two generations of kids since then.
Yeah. And the military, everything has changed, you know, how we deploy changed, we're all modular now, it's plug and play, that all didn't exist. It literally changed how everything happened. It changed the reserves, you know, the reserves were reserved, especially the National Guard, and I love the Guard, so I don't mean to misspeak at all, but I think from my experience, it was a little more gentleman's club, and there was some joking going on. I know that you active guys out there, didn't have the utmost respect for the reservists. But once war hit and things changed and we
60% of all of us that were in Iraq were reservists.
Yeah. What I'm saying. We
were the emergency war soldiers and sailors and Marines and Air Force. I mean,
changed everything.
We had such a small active duty force that could actually leave or deploy because everybody else has to stay and maintain the structure.
Yeah.
that we were the ones that were sent in to be the extras. We were the overtime employees.
It was incredible. And then it just changed our, you know, you bring, when you're a guardsman or reservist, you bring in life. You know, you're an attorney, you're a mechanic, I was a teacher. You know, you're something else. You're doing two jobs. You're doing two things. But when you step into that uniform, you're 100% soldier, you know, or Marine, airman. And we all started serving together. And then the branches all started serving together. And then we have the joint force joint forces now. And I think, you know, there's nothing good about war. I'm not saying that at all. But one thing it did do is this experience since 9/11 has literally re-changed and reshaped how we do military, how everything is. And I'm so honored that I got to be part of that, you know, not to glorify war at all or anything, but to be part of that change and to be able to, I'm so proud to be able to say that, you know, I'm part of the club.
You are part of the solution. I am part of the solution. Part of the problem.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're coming up here on another break. Our guest here is Lori Templeton. Thank you once again, Lori, for being with us. We still have another 45 minutes to go. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
People say we don't need this war, but I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend. Have you forgotten how it felt that day? See your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside, going through a living hell. God. It took all the footage off my TV. Said it's too disturbing for you and me. It'll just breed anger. That's what the experts say. If it was up to me, I'd show it every day. Some say this country's just out looking for a fight. Well, after 9/11, man, I'd have to say that's right. Have you forgotten how it felt that day? See your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside, going through a living hell. And we vowed to get the ones behind Bin Laden. Have you forgotten?
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and I hope that you have not forgotten the men and women who lost their lives on 9/11. As we approach the 20th anniversary, you can hear the fire engines going by. It kind of sets a tone to what we're doing. They're heading out to take care of business in our community. But we want to continue to remind you as we approach the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and the men and women who gave their lives. When we had the wall of remembrance out here at the museum property, and it had over 10,000 names of men and women, police officers, civilians, firemen, military personnel who had sacrificed and had given their lives from 9/11 all the way through to 2016, and now there will be more names added to that wall for those who gave their lives this last week. And the global war on terror does not stop. It continues on. And as we lose Americans, depending upon the situations, everything else, we have to make sure that we remember the men and women who are wearing the uniform, who are actually paying the sacrifice. And we have to support the men, the families, the mothers, and the husbands, and the fathers, and the sons and daughters of these who have given their lives as they move forward now, and their lives are changed because of what's taking place. And they're now Gold Star families. And so we must remember to support the families of those individuals as we move forward. Freedom is not free. It doesn't matter if this country or if it's another country. Those individuals will find their way here eventually, and hopefully we can teach them, and so that they learn and they understand how important that freedom is. And maybe somewhere down the road that these individuals in Afghanistan can learn to step up for themselves and to gain their own freedom without us having to be there to show them the sacrifice that it takes to make that happen. And so once again this morning, as we continue on, our guest here is Lori Templeton. She's the administrator for the Veterans Home. And Lori, we're going to start doing a transition from your military career. I want to talk about you becoming the administrator here for the Northern California Veterans Home. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about what was the process to get you to the point where you were able to step in and take over this position in our community. And I want to welcome you to Reading. Thanks. Even though you're already
welcome
here,
back.
I want to welcome you. Welcome you to the home and back into
Thank
our community
you.
Again. You have I was instrumental in the opening of the Veterans Home,
yeah.
and putting all the different displays that are in the Veterans Home are from, yeah, the Northern California Veterans Museum.
Beautiful.
I was there as the keynote speaker for the cornerstone laying for the,
right,
home, and then also for the time capsule. The museum was instrumental,
yeah,
in putting the time capsule together. Mm-hmm. We have been involved. We are weaved into the web of the Veterans Home. We don't talk a lot about it, but we have been very instrumental in the success of the Veterans Home from an outside standpoint of view. And so that's why I thought it was so important to have you here this morning to talk about that and to let us know a little bit about what's been going on also with all the different COVID things, whatever you can talk to us about. I know there's some restrictions here and there, but, you know, I thank you for being here because, you know, the home is so critical to our community.
Yeah.
We have the Veterans Home to honor the final days of our veterans.
Yeah.
We have the Igo Veterans Cemetery where they are laid to rest and honored here. And the Northern California Veterans Museum tells that story so we don't forget.
Yeah. It's an incredible honor. You know, the journey really what prepared me was actually being in the military, I think. And my years of command that I was absolutely honored to be able to have two company commands and then my experience as a teacher and then a liaison officer and just, you know, the different paths you take as you walk through life. And I still have a colonel that was my mentor. Just incredible. One of the most incredible officers I've ever met. And you know, you follow good leadership.
Right.
You just do.
You're
smart.
You're drawn to it.
Yeah, you're drawn to it. So you learn from poor leadership because you can learn from everything and you follow good leadership. And so she retired out of the military after 31 years and was appointed as the administrator of the Yountville Veterans Home.
Okay.
I was working in San Diego as a liaison officer at the time.
And that's in Napa, if you don't know.
That's in Napa. It's an incredible home. Talk about history. If I could sidewind, it's the largest veterans home, state-owned veterans home in the United States and oldest. It's incredible. Just to take, nobody can go there right now because of COVID, so there's no tours through the campus, but, I think right now there are close to 700, veterans there. And she took over, as the administrator there. And they had a job opening as the director, and so I applied. And, you know, if you've ever done state employment, it's a web to get through that process. But I was honored that I was selected. And became the director of residential services over there. So, I was in charge of all the, they have independent living over there. There's 400, when I was there, it was 411 independent. And then we had an RCFE and different levels of, you know, it goes up to skilled nursing. And so I managed all the activity department, the chaplaincy, the food services, all the, anything that had to do with the residents that weren't direct medical.
Right.
And I did that for a year and a half. And what I learned at that facility and still working under her tutelage and just added to the experience that I brought into the job. And working at that large of a capacity with that many veterans, I just fell in love with it. I was like, wow. You know, I had been working in an active duty capacity up until that point. And in order to take that position, you know, I had to go back to a reservist status and then so that I could work full-time on
right.
at the Veterans Home. And I just found a new passion and a new love. It was a new family. And I felt working around veterans, like if you ever spend time with people that were at Pearl Harbor,
during the attack.
It's incredible. I don't even have words for it. To sit in a room, I had lunch with the ladies because I'm drawn to female military. I mean, because that's there's not a lot, as many of us out there, right?
Right.
And to talk to, I used to sit at a table with three ladies and there was, a couple of Navy, ladies and airmen. I guess it's airmen.
Army Air Corps, probably.
Air Corps, Air Corps, thank you. But they tell stories of serving on Treasure Island when it was a base. And
I served on Treasure Island.
Yeah, did you really?
Yes,
wow, sorry.
But we were probably serving on the
I'm just saying, way back in the day. But they served when it wasn't cool to be a female in the military. And their experience and in the just what they had to endure. I mean, if you think, even us now, you know, we got the comfy shoes and we got the great equipment. And when you start listening to the stories about what the Korean vets had to endure and you're looking at somebody in the eye and they're telling you about how their feet were so cold they thought they were going to freeze off and their toes and no food and really looking at them and seeing the passion and you know, so many years down the road, they go back to that day. And so I was working with, I was around 600 historical gems, and it just changed. It just changed the path of my life.
Not to change your or to interrupt your story, but I spoke with a woman the other day. Her husband was a Marine at the Chosun Reservoir in Korea.
Wow.
And she, as she was telling me the story about her husband, still had fervent against MacArthur for taking away his cold weather gear because he had lost some of his toes when he was at the Chosun Reservoir. And she was just, she wasn't cursing MacArthur, but she was cursing MacArthur.
Yeah.
Because she was so upset of what her husband had to endure at the Chosun Reservoir because they were supposed to be home by Christmas.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to have not have any cold weather gear when MacArthur sent it all back because we were going to be home by Christmas. And then they endured the entire winter without any winter clothing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you know, we can't undo the past, but I think we learn from it. And
hopefully.
We got some warm weather gear, cold weather gear now. But it just, so that's where I got hooked. And that's where, you know, my passion started switching. Just to be able to talk with, like every day you go to work and you get to go chat with history.
Right.
Like,
that's why I love the museum.
Who gets to do that, you know? And so I felt so honored. And then, you know, I like affecting change and improving things. And there's always ways to make systems better. And I like analytics and I like processes. And so I'm able to bring that part of me into trying to improve a system so that the veterans can have the best that we can give them. And it's a state system. So there's always hoops we got to jump through. But for our veterans, we work to find a way. And I can finish with, I brought that to Reading. So we'll segue into Reading.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
That September day, were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer, and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and a thought back is remember the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Where were you when the towers were attacked? What were you doing? What were your thoughts? And as we move forward toward the final event here, as we do we honor the 20th anniversary of 9/11, we want you to ponder that. We want you to think about it. We want you to think about the men and women who are losing their lives right now in Afghanistan, who are still serving and trying to free people from that side of the world, who are looking for the freedom that we offered them while we were there, and now they're struggling to keep it. Because freedom is so important. There is a sacrifice for freedom. It is not free. You might think that that's just a saying that people say. But there is a great price that is paid for freedom in this nation. It's paid for across the world for all men and women who seek it. It's not free. There's always a tyrant. There's always someone that wants to steal it away, that wants to take it away. A thief in the night. But that's why we have American forces in our uniforms, and that serve this nation, and to wear that uniform with pride and with sacrifice and with honor, because they know, they learn, they've understood, they know why they wear that uniform. And we want to honor those who have sacrificed and those who continue to put their lives on the line daily around the world for us and for others. And that's what it's about. It's about giving to others who are in need. And our guest this morning is Lori Templeton. Lori, you're the administrator for the Veterans Home here off of Knighton Road. And I want to thank you for being here. We've been talking about, in the break, you're talking about Yountville, mm-hmm. down in Napa, the Veterans Home there, where you were the administrator.
Mm-hmm. And I was the director of residential services.
Oh, you were the director there. Okay. So you're director there, but the administrator here.
Correct.
And so we were talking about some of the sacrifices of some of the veterans that you had talked about, and from Korea and World War II and different experiences. Right. So let's carry on from there.
Oh, it was just that experience working in Yountville opened my eyes up to, you know, our veteran home community, and that's where I fell in love with it. You know, I've always been in service and always loved to serve, and that's why I went into the military and followed that path, and it just opened a door to a new path, and I absolutely loved working there. And then last year in August, my dad passed unexpectedly. And my mom's up here, and I don't know if I had said it before, but I raised my kids up here in Reading. And then once I joined the Guard, I spent a couple of years reserves, and then I jumped. Like, my kids are done. They're grown up.
Right.
And I went on to the active duty side of the National Guard and just went into uniform full-time. And then I went to Oakland and San Diego, and I just was all over the place. And about the same time that my dad passed, my mom was up here. My uncle had been disabled when he was in a motorcycle accident when he was like 26. So I grew up with him. And my dad had already done all the applications and everything to get him into the veterans home.
Okay.
And then COVID hit, and everybody kind of shut everything down. And they were looking at getting him into the home the same month that my dad was diagnosed with cancer, and he actually passed the same month. It was very unexpected.
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Thank you. And then I became his DPOA to take care of my uncle because my mom wasn't able to. And I was kind of introduced to the veterans home up here in Reading because I had to do all the paperwork. He finally was able to get in. So my uncle is actually a resident at the veterans home, which is incredible.
Awesome.
And just through the course of events, they had an opening in December for the administration, and I spoke with the administrator at Yountville and said, you know, what do you think? I mean, I want to be home taking care of my mom. It's kind of time to go home, but I loved working.
It's a lifetime experience.
Yeah,
to Yountville.
I just loved it, and so it was a bittersweet, but I put my hat. I threw my hat in and went through a very extensive, you know, when the governor's office appoints somebody, it's a pretty extensive process. And I was very honored that they selected me. And so in April, I've only been back since mid-April.
You have a pretty strong resume.
It's all right.
It goes back to that mom
thing. But it, like I tell everybody, it's just such an honor. I get to continue to work with the residents and I get to be home.
Right.
Like, I got to come home. And I still have a toe in the military, you know, on the reservist side, and I'm starting to toy with the idea that maybe it's time to let that go. Being able to work and talk with the veterans, you know, you're on the same page. Like, we were talking about how some of the veterans, you know, depending on when they serve, there's just a different mentality depending on what war and era they were in. And to see them all at the table, and then you come in as a female who joined late, and I'm in kind of the new game, but we can still have those conversations. And I think I bring to the table a knowledge and an experience that I can relate with the residents that are there.
You're not a civilian.
I'm not a civilian. And so we can sit down and I just love being with them. And it just became a great opportunity. So, you know, the vision for the home is that it truly is a home. And it really is. It's an incredible place to be.
And
when COVID lifted, people should come by and experience it.
I think it's critical that the administrator for the veterans' home is a veteran. Nobody can take care of a veteran like a fellow veteran. Nobody.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's critical. I'm so glad that they were smart enough, because when you come to the veterans clinic, many of the people that are in the veterans clinic are civilians.
Yeah.
They do not understand. They do not relate to the veteran. They don't. There's no connection there. You can't develop a connection with a civilian.
Yeah. I feel like it's a gift. It really, and then I have that mentality that I really, like, we learn from the past. If you're smart, you learn from the past. You know, you can't relive it. I don't think we should stay in it. I don't think we should be angry in it. We got to figure a way to process for it, but we certainly need to look at it and learn from it. And I can sit and think, well, the military I experienced from 2010 to now, and then I look back what they had to live through, and you talk to them and they share what they had to live through. It gives you such an appreciation for what you have. You know, even MREs. Like, I brought some MREs in just to laugh and joke with them.
Right.
Because we get M&Ms and Skittles
sure.
in our MREs, okay? Look, they have the SeaTac and some other
C-Rat,
stuff. C-Rat. And so I'll laugh. I'll be like, oh, yeah, you guys, you know, you couldn't handle the good stuff. And, I mean, we could kind of spar and joke and, you know, just the gear. It's an incredible thing. And we're just going to have great opportunities for the veterans moving forward. And it's always that mission to make this the best place for them to live. And, you know, if they choose to stay, to pass from that location. And we do have the different levels of care. We have RCFE, which is your residential care. So when somebody is just a beat off of being able to be dependent, maybe just needs a little extra help. And then all the way to we have memory care to help with
Alzheimer's
and dementia.
How many beds do you have for Alzheimer's?
There's 30.
30 beds.
So we have 30 on the memory care side, and we have 30 on the skilled nursing side, and 80 on the, or 90 on the RCFE. Sorry. All the acronyms.
Right.
Acronym soup. Go from a teacher to military to CalVet. I'll tell you what. It's just, how do we continue to make it a better place for them? And our staff's incredible. The staff there is absolutely dedicated and incredible. We have veterans that are working there on the staff and civilians that have a passion and a heart for the residents. So it really is a special place.
I've worked a lot with a lot of those individuals,
yeah,
with the museum,
mm-hmm.
with different programs and
yeah.
events and things like that. I'm glad when COVID is gone and we can get those residents out to our events and get them
will.
Involved
yes,
again.
Yes, absolutely.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Reading Electric Utility, like more than 2,000 utilities across the country, is a nonprofit public power agency owned by the customers. This year, we are celebrating 100 years of serving the city of Reading. October 3rd through the 9th is Public Power Week, and we celebrate the benefits of living in a public power community. These benefits include low rates and local control. Community ownership means your money stays right here in Reading. Publicly owned utilities like REU provide excellent service and work directly for the community.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR 1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Football is life. Get in the game. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to catch your favorite team on any of our 16 screens inside season. Score with our new Game Grub Buffet. Free spins, kickoff for cash and prizes. Nowhere else in town offers this. More football fun. Play hard, win easy. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long. Some people talk football. We live it at Wind River Resort and Casino. Details at windriver.com.
Thank you.
There are a lot of perfect reasons to never fight another war. There are a lot of perfect questions as to what's worth fighting for. And there are a lot of perfect fools who refuse to read the writing on the wall. But the truth is there are people who have made it crystal clear that it is their holy mission to destroy all we hold dear. And they are busily out searching for the fire to make this towering nation fall. Now we can just sit back and wait until they spill more precious blood, or we can seek these cowards out and nip their slaughter in the bud. Adios, sweet home and family. I am off to fight a war that must be won. You will know why I'm going when you see the snow-white rose of Arlington.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest once again is Lori Templeton, the administrator for the Veterans Home. And Lori, we've been talking about the different veterans that have been involved, and you're now at the Northern California Redding Veterans Home.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to us a little bit about if a family member wants to get their family member on the list or to be able to be a part of it. I know that there's homes throughout California, and some have immediate opportunities to go into. But Redding, what's the waiting list for Redding?
Redding is about a year to 2 years, depending on what side you're looking at getting into. We do have a pretty extensive waiting list, but we go through it, you know, and call and contact people to make sure they're still interested. And one of the most important things, if you're really looking at going to the Veterans Home, is get your paperwork and make sure that it's current. There's certain medical things you have to have current, because that can kind of slow down the process. Once we give you a phone call and say, hey, we have an opening in the next 30 days, if that's when you start the process to get a hold of, you know, the VA to get your paperwork, it's not going to happen because it takes so long sometimes for the VA to process.
Especially with the COVID, it makes it
exactly
even twice as long.
So if you're really looking and if you're listening and you are on the list, just make sure your paperwork stays current so that when we call you and say, hey, we have an opening, because it's sad, but the only way we have an opening is when we lose somebody. And you can't schedule that. So it's a horrible thing to say, please be on the list and wait and be ready, but we can't tell you when it's going to be, because honestly, if we lose somebody, that creates the opening.
Right.
So it's a bittersweet for sure.
It is
bittersweet. But we do have, like right now, down in Lancaster, down south, they don't have a waiting list, right? So it's a shameless plug for Lancaster. It's an incredible home down south, and they don't have a waiting list right now. So if anybody is interested, they can get a hold of me at the Veterans Home there at Redding. And
now the home just isn't for older veterans. The home is eligible for Iraqi veterans and Afghanistan veterans,
correct,
also that are 100% disabled.
Yeah, there's an age requirement if you're not 100%. If you're 100%, then there's no age limit. So absolutely, it's eligible for a veteran status.
Now we talked about eligible homeless veterans,
yes,
that can go to the veterans home and live there.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So the homeless veterans, you know, the federal VA and everybody's very, you know, we're all very concerned about that, and it's a very real issue. So there is an allowance that if you have the certified homeless status, then there are certain considerations to move you up on the list based on the federal regulations. So if you do, get a hold of your VSO. We got great VSO here in the community, and they can connect you with the home and help you actually through that process. You don't have to do it alone. The community works together with the veterans home. We have a VSO on site, and they will connect and work together.
And I didn't know that. We talked the other day, and you shared that with me, and I didn't know that before. Because I know that people have come to me before that were homeless veterans,
mm-hmm,
that were 100%, that maybe lost their home, they lost their spouse. or their daughter or family member that was caretaking mm-hmm. for them, and now they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go.
Yeah.
But if this program is available for them, what a yeah. great opportunity.
It really is. And, I mean, the homeless issue is everybody's. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It really, we got to take care of, and it doesn't matter why. But if you're a homeless veteran, you know, there are programs out there to help you. So you can call the home. VSO is the easiest way, or like you know people, you can get them in touch with me and I can connect them.
So we have a program called Silver Star Veterans and Widows. And that mm-hmm. program takes care of our elderly veterans and widows that are mm-hmm. in need after someone has passed on.
Right.
And so now that I know, now this program is not eligible for widows. It's strictly for the veterans.
The veterans themselves, correct.
But do you have rooms for widows or for the veterans and their spouses also?
We do have rooms. We do have a couple rooms on the RCFE side. For that you can go there with a spouse. It's a tight fit, but we do absolutely have spouses. We have two spouse families there.
And if the veteran passes away, does the spouse have to leave?
No.
So once they're in, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great opportunity,
because,
too.
Because, as a spouse, you're living there, you come, it's your home.
Right.
You serve your time as a spouse, sure. Let me tell you. It really is. CalVet really is looking to honor and help our veterans the best that they can, for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a great community opportunity, you know.
So how many guests do you have right now in the home, do you think?
What do you mean by guests?
How many veterans do you have that are currently living at the Northern California Veterans Home?
Right now we have 141.
And how many beds do you have?
We have 150.
150. Mm-hmm. So that transition, like you said, is constantly
It's in flux.
In
and
change.
There's always, and you know, I mean, I'm going to talk about, there's also a real staffing, you know, crisis through all of California, and, you know, good nursing staff and stuff. And we have such an incredible group of people that work for us here at CalVet. But we will only allow as many people in the home as we can support and care them at the highest standards.
Left.
Yeah. So some people go, hey, you got 9 beds. Yeah, but I would rather have 9 beds that we're making sure that we're providing the best care that we can. And, you know, as we get more staff, and then we can bring more people in, for sure. But we're communicating with those on the waiting list. And
are you mm-hmm. constantly hiring? Or is that just,
oh my gosh, we are hiring.
Goes?
Yeah. Another plug. Yeah, we are absolutely, we have, 41 vacancies right now.
You do? 41 vacancies.
Yeah. So we really are looking for people. You know, nursing is incredible. CNAs. And to be able to work with the veterans, it is such a great experience. It's state service. So the application process is difficult. And I think that, that hurts a little bit, you know, because it can take up to a month and a half to get through the whole process.
Sure.
And people get other jobs in between.
Right.
But we definitely have openings for CNAs and nurses, and I know nobody wants to really speak about the new COVID public health restrictions that are coming down with on the 30th. You have to be vaccinated.
So that you are required to also have that.
We're honoring the public health order for sure. CalVet is 100%. And right now the order says that you got to be vaccinated by the 30th, or you sign there's exemptions. So you can be medically exempt or religious exemption. And there's a declination that CalVet, you know, for our employees, that if it's against their religious beliefs or it's a medical, then you sign the form and we roll on.
What about your veterans? Did they all need to be tested, or is that part of the program?
We do a test. Testing is mandatory. We test. Providing a safe environment for our veterans, their national treasures, is absolutely.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, that's our number one priority. You know, we track the positivity rate in the county on a daily basis.
I like that term, national treasures.
They are. They're national treasures. And we do everything in our power to protect them. And we work closely with public health, you know, on a daily basis. And we really track the positivity rates. It affects when we're open and can go visit. It affects everything.
Sure.
And so working in conjunction with them, they set the testing standards and the CMS and CDC and all the other acronym soups out there that keep us safe. They set the guidelines. And so we do test all employees every week, and we'll be testing twice a week coming up here pretty soon to make sure. And all the residents get tested, not on a regular basis. If there's an employee that or somebody that comes down with COVID, then we go through a testing cycle to make sure that everybody's safe. So it's just an incredible process that we go, I'm just really proud of everything we're doing. You know, we don't have residents with COVID. They are
that's
in a
good
safe
for people to know.
And, yeah, and they're in a safe environment. And
yeah, I know they're well protected.
Yeah, they're well protected, and it takes a lot of work behind the scenes. And our staff just work over and beyond to make sure that the residents are safe. So it's a great place to
just
work.
Just for the last minute, we got a minute and a half left about girls joining the military.
Oh yeah, join the military. It's incredible. Yeah, I'd advise it. Look, you gain strength, you get a confidence. There's a sense of pride and ownership. I would highly recommend it, but I would advise, and this is for anybody, you know, do your research. Take the time to learn what the rules are and aren't before you go in. You know, we were talking about recruiters, which are absolutely...
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving...